Today's program is brought to you by Copper and Kings, pure copper pot-distilled American brandy, aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels. For more information, visit copperandkings.com.
Hey, I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues, that's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. And in the studio today, we've got my buddy TJ Lynch of Mother's Ruin.
That's right.
In New York City. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks, man. It's good to be here.
Great to have you. Man, I feel lucky enough to have you in here and to be able to talk about your bars and and especially Mother's Ruin. I've had a lot of fun and questionable nights there.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're all about.
I got to get behind that bar a couple times when Brian Miller was doing Tiki Mondays there.
So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, it's a deceptively difficult bar. It's like it's cute and tiny, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm getting my ass kicked left and right. This is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, that's you make it work, right?
Yeah, it's funny. We kind of inherited the bar, so we kind of had to adapt. You know, doing better cocktails at volume to this little weird, oddly shaped bar with weird equipment in it. So it was.
I think that's we definitely deal a lot with that in New York City, you know, of all the cities. Yeah. You know, we have these weird, oddly shaped old bars that you kind of inherit.
Yeah, and you have to shoehorn everything in there.
You just got to make it work, man.
Yeah, totally. When we did Lorenzo's, there was so much space. I didn't know what to do with it.
Like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
There's all this room. It's crazy. I should bring my badminton set in here.
So you guys have been around for 5 years now.
Yeah, it'll be 5 years on June 2nd.
Congratulations, yeah. Man. That's awesome.
Crazy. Feels like 50 years and 5 minutes at the same time.
Yeah, totally. What was your process in opening that place, man? It happened pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, it was crazy. We had all these big, grandiose plans, it being our first project in New York, and we thought we were going to, like, we had all this, we're raising all this money, and it was going to be this huge gut renovation and this huge build out in our concept and our vision and all this shit, you know? And then we get into the space and we're like, I don't know, man, you know, this room is kind of too small. Like, and my friend Tom Wilson, who owns Reunion, he was like, he get into the space, he's like, you're an idiot. He's like, take the space, it's in a great neighborhood, and don't gut it. He's like, it's fine. I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, all right, hear me out. He goes, what would happen if you didn't do anything to the space? I was like, what are you talking about? The place that says shithole. He's like, no, just hear me out. He's like, would the drinks taste the same? I was like, yeah, I guess. He goes, would the food taste the same? I'm like, I guess. He goes, would the music sound the same? Would the bartenders be just as good? I was like, well, yeah. He goes, well, then who gives a shit what you did to the floor? He's like, don't spend the money. So we literally went in, rolled down the gate. We all the money we raised was for legal and key money and crap like that. And we literally rolled down the gate and cleaned the place, painted it, and opened it in 3 days.
Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, we paid our investors off in 15 months.
That's incredible, man.
Yep.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, and we're about to do it again on Avenue C.
Yeah.
Yeah, after doing, what we did Wallflower 2 years ago and Lorenzo's last year, and those were huge full build-outs and all this, like, basically where you end up being like a general contractor.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. And you're like, you're meeting electricians and plumbers at 9 a.m. every day.
Yeah.
So after doing that, we're like, let's just go back to what we're good at. Let's just slap a coat of paint on this thing and open.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun that way.
It's like, coming from a couple of places where they repurposed old bars, you can make it work, man.
Totally.
Like the Primies bar, it's tiny back there, but, you just make it work, man.
Yeah. I get it, when you're trying to do your own thing and you're branching out, you're making that step and it's big and you have all these ideas, all the experience that you've accumulated and you want to use it and you want to do all, you have this vision. But, I mean, I see people do it all the time. We get pitched, with like different business plans and ideas and all the time, and people want to spend so much money. They're like dying to spend $1.3 million on, I'm like, well, when are you going to get, how are you ever going to get that paid off?
Right.
Like, you're going to be an employee for 5 years.
You're going to...
you know?
Yeah, basically you're going to be working your ass off, like, nonstop.
Yeah, and like $2 million build-outs on their first project. I was like, dude, maybe start a little smaller.
I'd like to get a paycheck at
some
point.
Yeah, I mean,
you
know? Maybe start out, like, you know, doing something a little more chill.
Yeah. So what was the... I mean, I know... not to veer off the bar for too long, but... Man, the fucking grilled cheese sandwich. What the hell?
You know, it's funny. Everybody thinks that, like, I was super high when I came up with that one. I mean, not that I don't smoke weed.
Well, you come from a culinary background. I'm not saying that means you smoke weed, but it kind of does.
I mean, and I cooked for a long time, and so, like, that kind of helps us not have to pay for a chef. Mm-hmm. Saves a lot of money. You know, and it's good that I finally have something to show for 8 years of sweating it out in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody thought I was, like, super stoned when I came up with it, because it's total stoner food.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, we make French onion soup, like, classically, and then we take the onions out of the soup, make, like, you know, and leave it, like, as a jus type situation. And then we get some really nice crusty bread from Balthazar, and then we do a grilled cheese with the onions in the grilled cheese, and then we gratinate the top of the sandwich, kind of like the top of the French onion soup bowl. And then you just take that and dip it into the jus. It's crack-tastic.
So awesome, man. Yeah. Dude, I think about it all the time, man.
I've only had it like 6,000 times, and I still like it, which is amazing.
That's awesome, man. So going back to the bar, what was the original ideas for the drink offering? Because I know, like, I've definitely had cocktails there, but I've also had a shitload of Tecate that's dressed down.
Yeah, well, see, it's funny because I worked with Toby Maloney over. He was the consulting cocktail guy at the Rusty Knot back in the day. Mm-hmm. And he put together this really cool tiki program. It's like this high volume tiki thing that he was doing. It was so smart and fast and brilliant and delicious. He did like 11 tiki drinks off of this 2-3-4 bottle pickup with like this great house made, you know, sour with tons of mango in it. That was just like speed tiki. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, it was super cool. And everything was like you threw 3 cold draft cubes in a small tin. Scooped it through the crushed, put it into the big tin, give it one whack, and roll it into a tiki mug. It was like perfect.
That's amazing.
It was really cool. Anyway, so
I'm going to steal that, man.
it's brilliant. It was so cool. But working with him, he's from Texas, so he spent a lot of time in Texas when he was a kid. And everybody in Texas puts salt and lime on their their canned beers. So that's what we were doing at the Rusty Knot. And I was like, "What are you doing?" And I had it. I'm like, "All right, that's delicious." So. And then when we took over the space that Mother's Ruin is in, there was a case of Tecate, oddly just sitting in the refrigerator when we got there.
It was like a welcome gift.
Yeah, just left over. You know, I was like, oh, so I was like, all right. And I love Cholula because it's like my favorite hot sauce. Don't tell all the other hot sauces I said that because I love them all equally. So I went down to the bodega in the corner from Mother's and I grabbed a bottle of Cholula and we just started doing lime, salt, and Cholula on it, like just like for us.
Yeah.
And then, like, it just took off. And now we, depending on the month, we're either the number one or number two seller of Tecate in New York.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Last year, we sold 2,007 cases of Tecate.
2,007 cases? Jesus Christ.
Out of 800 square feet.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I probably had about 6,000.
Exactly,
of those.
Right? I thank you for that.
That's incredible, man. So yeah, that's definitely that's iconic of Mother's Ruin. Another thing is like you guys always have frozen drinks, which is awesome.
Yeah, the slushy machine is we started it 5 years ago when we opened and we were so dumb we were like, all right, we're just gonna make this one brunch slushy and run it for brunch and then we were gonna take the machine back in the kitchen after brunch.
Yeah,
and we did that for like the first 2 weeks, and then we're like, man, this fucking machine is really heavy. Maybe we'll just leave it on the bar. And then it just got out of control. And we were also, again, very stupid by thinking at the beginning, like, hey, man, we'll just do a batch. And whenever it runs out, we'll just do a different one the next time. I mean, we've got tons of ideas, right? All right. So if you think about it, if you do the math, we've been 5 years. We go through a batch at the slowest 3 days. So let's just say 3 days. Let's say it's 3 days per batch. So you do 5 times 365 divided by 3. How many batches is that? How many new recipes is that?
Oh, shit, man. Yeah, you do it. Yeah, you said you were doing them different every time.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, we've done everything. You name it.
Man.
You name a vegetable, a fruit, a spice, a booze, a modifier, you name it. Like,
It's been an etch machine.
We're so tapped out. Like, we're just so fried. We got nothing left. So I think we started repeating, like, a few months ago. We're like, all right, fuck it. There's just no way.
Do you have them all logged?
No way. Not a chance.
I was going to say, man, that's a cocktail book.
Yeah, I mean, between Owen, James, and I, we could sit down and probably just rattle off, like, 200-300, like, off the top of our heads.
That's awesome, man.
It's crazy. Yeah, I had to pass the torch to Owen. After year three, I was just fried. I was like, dude, you got to take over. I can't do this anymore.
Oh, man. But it is, it's like, it's awesome because it is a very iconic thing for your bar, you know?
Yeah, it's fun.
People go there for that.
Yeah. And you know, like the first couple months, we'd be like, oh, I came here for that slush you made the other day. And like, oh, well, we changed it all the time. And then we got some, everybody at the beginning gave us a lot of flack. Like, I can't believe you don't have that anymore. But now that everybody gets it, now everybody comes back because they know that it's going to be something different.
And then it's always going to be good.
Yeah. You know, and all the times, you know, people just put way too much sugar. And, you know, like there's like this misnomer that you have to add some form of sugar content to have a slush. You know, it's makes some,
to it, make it actually that, yeah, freeze over?
It's bullshit. Like,
so what?
I was going to answer your question. You basically just make cocktail the way you want it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're using really expensive ingredients, you might want to find like a lengthener, like whether it be like tea or cucumber juice, something that can really give it some length to it. But for the most part, just make it the way you would want to drink it and add dilution. Maybe add a tiny bit more dilution, depending on your alcohol content. But other than that, it's pretty simple.
And those machines usually take like at least like 4 or 5 hours to freeze, right?
Well, it depends.
Depends on the size, I guess.
Yeah, so we started with a smaller machine, and we would just, like, it would suck because we would run out, like, we'd be filling up the batch like 2-3 times a night in the hopper. And then we graduated to a water-cooled machine, which is way better. It's less noise, less heat dissipation, and it chills things a lot faster. But we also learned that we actually make the batch a day at a time and we put it in the walk-in overnight. So a super cold batch can freeze in 20 minutes.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, because I know, like, they, out here at Roberta's, they have a frozen drink machine in the tiki tent in the backyard. And I think it's the same one that you guys have.
Frosty Factory?
I think so, yeah.
Those things are awesome.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been out there. But, yeah, because I've seen them throw the batch in and, like 30 minutes before they open, and I'm just like, what the hell are you guys doing? It's not gonna be ready. And it always is. I've never had great luck using slushy machines, but we're gonna find out this week though.
Exactly right. You know, there's a lot of different brands out there. I think everybody talks about Taylor. I think I've never used a Taylor, but I think I hear they're pretty good. Mm-hmm. But for us, like, the reason I chose Frosty Factory is because
it's a great name, first of all.
Well, right. And I was working in Miami. And I went to Wet Willie's in Miami. Horrible place. Just like grain alcohol and high fructose corn syrup and food coloring all day. But but it's still fun. And I looked and, like, you know, they have like 8 of them through the South. 8 Wet Willie's. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. They have one in Charleston and some other else. And they only use Frosty Factory. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah, you're like,
They're open from like 10 a.m. till 4 a.m. So these machines are running like crazy hours, and like it's all they use. I'm like, if these guys are using it, that's my shit right there.
Yeah, and it's got a cool name.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder what the ones they use in the daiquiri shacks in New Orleans.
A lot of Frosty Factories.
Are they saying? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, that makes sense. And those never turn off.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, they're tanks. You know, like, I think the reason that they work really well is there's just not a lot of like super digital or crazy components. It's pretty basic stuff. It's like on, off.
Yeah, it's like the Osterizer blender. You know, 2 speeds.
Yeah, less moving parts, the better.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I want one. I want one so bad. Gah!
Oh, you guys will have one this week, right?
We're going to have one tomorrow for our 1-year anniversary.
Yeah, I think it's ours.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it's Old Faithful. You're going to love it. It's a good machine.
Nice, man.
It's got a lot of history.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting us borrow that.
Hopefully it doesn't break down for you guys in the middle of the show. I just jinxed myself.
We'll figure it out. There's plenty of other options if it breaks down.
Right.
Yeah, so Mother's Ruin. You guys, another thing that I've noticed about you guys, you really have your finger on the pulse, like, as a business with like programming and special events and stuff like that. That definitely takes a lot of relationships with different brands and other bars. And
it's funny how it just kind of happens, like, I guess organically now, but it just, like, you know, when we opened, we just wanted to be a place for industry people to hang out. That's why we were dead after 12 o'clock at night almost every night. But we stayed open until 4 and keep the kitchen open until 4, no matter what. It was just me sitting on a stool by myself. Because we knew eventually once everybody would figure it out, they know they could count on us to always be open.
Sure.
Always be open late, never close early. And that kind of helped us, you know, be the industry spot. So then that brought all the brand, attention and everything else. So I think the key was us just being super consistent about being open late. And you know, when everybody gets off work, they can come in for food and drinks and stuff until, you know, at least 4 a.m.
Yeah. You got to keep the lights on, man. For
nothing pisses me off more.
You know, when, especially, you know, the bars that close at like 2 and then you have to shut down, you know, like break down and then like. And around like 3:15, you get out and you're like, "Fuck, man! I really just want to go get a beer and a
yeah." And you show up and they're already closed.
Yeah,
oh, that's like my biggest pet peeve ever. Man. Is like going somewhere and you know you even go online and check out their website or whatever, and they say, "Oh, up until this hour," and you show up like, "Oh, we closed early." I'm like, I really would just want to like flip a table and go ballistic. It's just such the biggest like fuck you to your customers. It's like, oh, you know what? I was gonna serve you some cool stuff and you know, some good food, but you know what? I don't really like you that much, so I'm just going to close your
eyes. I just got bored.
You can go fuck yourself.
I just got bored.
So annoying. It's the opposite of hospitality. It's the opposite of why we're in this business.
Yep.
We're here to like hook people up.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to get you good stuff. It's like, that's the whole point. And for people to just close early, it's like, why are you even in this business?
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, the stupidest thing about that is that as a bartender working those late hours, that last, like, 45 minutes to an hour of business can pay your rent.
Totally.
If you stay open.
Seriously. You know, it's crazy. I just, it still blows my mind that people do that to this day. It's like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
All right. So, TJ, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
When we get back, I want to talk about your new project that you're working on in the East Village.
Pizza.
All right. Back in a moment. All right.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, the executive producer of Heritage Radio Network, also the host of Full Service Radio, and I want to talk to you about brandy. I was lucky enough to visit Louisville, and we all know Kentucky is whiskey territory. However, the best thing I had to drink was brandy. I got to visit Copper and King's distillery, and they make pure copper pot distilled American brandy aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels, matured with rock and roll. That's right. Sonic aging. They're playing music to the barrels. The stuff is double distilled, non-chill filtered, unadulterated by bois, sugar, or caramel color. And this stuff is feisty, rambunctious, with a long, smooth finish. This stuff isn't made exactly in the style of an international brandy or a cognac. It's more along the lines of an American whiskey. I can really be honest here and tell you, I'm not just reading you an ad, I'm giving you a tip. American brandy, you're not seeing it everywhere. Copper and Kings is doing it incredibly well, and they're cool people. The distillery is full of incredible art. Like I said, they're playing rock and roll to the barrels. So again, Copper and Kings, pure copper, pot distilled American brandy, aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels. That's copperandkings.com. Drink it neat, put it in a cocktail, sub it for your brown spirits, experiment, have fun, get funky. This stuff is awesome.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network, and we have TJ Lynch in the studio today. We were just talking before the break about the process of opening Mother's Ruin, and I can't believe you opened in 3 days. That's insane.
Well, we cheated, so.
Yeah. No, this is creative. No, I wouldn't call it cheating. It's very creative opening. But so now you're opening a new place in the East Village.
With any luck.
With any luck?
As long as if the community board doesn't have anything to do about it.
Yeah, so what's going on with that?
Well, they're just the same, you know. It's, you know, they always say that, all our lawyers say that, you know, the worst community board, you know, shifts from, like, one to the other. Like, you know, it was CB3, which is the East Village, which is what we're dealing with now. They were the worst for a long time because of, remember Lasuk?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lasuk ruined it for everybody for, like, 10 years.
Wow.
They were so bad. And then it kind of got better in CB3, and then CB2 got worse. That's the one on the west side. Then West Village and all that stuff. That got really bad. And then now it's back on CB3 in the East Village, which is the worst. They're just completely out of control.
It seems like the community boards in the city, for the most part, are like just old psychopaths that have nothing better to do than fuck with people.
Exactly. They've obviously been here for a long time. And they have a lot of concerns, which is valid. You know, like there should be community boards. You know, there should be people that are in touch with what's happening in the community and have some say into what direction things head and who does what. And like, you know, it can't be just a complete free for all across the board.
Sure.
You know, because that would be bad for everybody. But that's not actually what they do now. Like, especially when it gets really bad, they're just, you know, crazy power hungry. You know, self-serving, you know, it's not for the ultimate benefit of the community is what they're, you know, not doing that anymore.
So what are some of the, some examples of, these hurdles that,
so we went up a couple weeks ago for the East Village spot. We went to the hearing to have our application to the SLA gone over by the community board, and they had nothing wrong with it. But, well, technically, you know, there's all these little things that they could nail you for. It's like the 500-foot rule, proximity to a church. If you have people from the community that stand up to oppose you, right? And then, you know, for A, B, C reasons or whatever.
Sure.
There's a bunch of things that are, like, real legitimate reasons where you shouldn't be able to get that license. Mm-hmm. We had none of that. They had nothing to say. We had 187 signatures. Not just from our block or from our area, but from our building and the building next to us and the building across the street. We had two people from the community stand up to speak on our behalf. They took time out of their week to show up and say why they thought this was a good idea and that they were supportive. And actually, the Loisada organization, who runs Avenue C, they showed up to voice their support of us. And no one stood up to oppose us. And it was an airtight application. And it's seriously, verbatim, the one lady in the community board looked at the other lady in the community board and said, well, we have to deny them, right? Because we're denying everyone tonight. That's what we're doing, right? That was their justification for denying us.
So they just decided that they wanted to just deny everyone
that
night for no reason.
Exactly. So, ultimately, that's actually kind of the best thing that could have happened because when that happens, you basically just you bypass them and you go directly to the SLA with your application and you say, here's what happened, and the SLA looks at your application and realizes that it's totally fine, and the community board has lost their minds again, and they pretty much just grant you what you asked for at that point, right?
So where they could have given you like an early curfew,
yeah. This is where they're not helping themselves. If they would have approved, if the community board would, because they can't approve or deny, they can only recommend to the SLA what the SLA should do, because let's not forget the community board actually has no real power.
Right.
So they don't think that, but they don't have any power.
they just kind of weed out the crazies.
Yeah,
for the SLA.
They vet everybody for the SLA. It's actually easier for the SLA to do it this way. That way, the community boards kind of filter everything out, and then the SLA won't approve something that the community board doesn't like, because then that creates a bunch of static and it's a headache for them. Anyway, so.
But then since they had no reason.
Yeah, so we just go right to the SLA. So if they would have been less power hungry and egomaniacal about this, and they could have said, okay, we're going to recommend that the SLA approve your application with these stipulations. They can curtail your hours. They can make you shut your windows by a certain time. You need a licensed bonded doorman outside to keep the noise out. There's all kinds of other things that they could tack on to your license if they approve it, or if they suggest an approval to the SLA, right? And this is working with the community. This is like, you know, helping mold and shape and going in a direction and all that stuff, right? Instead, they're just crazy and just said flat out denied us for no reason. So we just go right to the SLA and we get our license without any stipulations.
And you can be open till 4.
Yeah, we're going to ask for 3 because it's CB3 is still a little bit touchy right now.
Yeah,
but we'll ask for 3. We'll probably get 2 for the and then, but we'll immediately refile to get 4.
Right.
So we'll get 2 out the gate, and then within like 3-4 months, if everything's squeaky clean, which is kind of how we operate anyway, if the neighborhood loves us, which they already do, then we'll apply for 4, and we'll probably get that afterwards.
It's amazing how that works, man. It's
yeah, it's ass backwards.
Do they not understand that, like, I guess maybe they're thinking that by denying your application, or the suggestion of your application to the SLA, that maybe that was going to, like, break you.
Right,
and like, then you'd just be like, oh, well, I guess we got to give up. We're not opening.
Yeah, exactly. And they do that. They're counting on that. And they're also counting on, they do a thing where they hold you over. That's another tricky thing they do now, where they don't deny you. Because if they straight up deny you, or they, you know, deny, or recommend that you get denied, then you'll go right to the SLA like we're going to do. But sometimes if they're smarter, like CB2 is smarter about this, they'll hold you over. Right? So they won't flat out deny you, but they say, you know what, we're going to need to see more from you, so we're going to hold you over to next month. And they'll keep doing that and doing that until you run out of money.
That's evil. So shitty.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
some evil shit right there.
Wow.
Yeah. But if you have a good lawyer and your game is really tight, then ultimately there's not a lot to worry about. It's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, but I've seen, dude, I saw, you know, Zaragoza, the little taco place on 12th and B.
Mm-hmm.
Love that place, right? No, 12th and A. Yeah, 12th and A. Is it B?
I can't remember.
Oh, whatever. Anyway,
I thought it was on 11.
It's like a little bodega that has great tacos, and like you could go in the back and sit down and eat your tacos, and like literally just slide the refrigerator door open and grab your beers, and like it was awesome. Great little spot, little husband and wife spot. It's been there 17 years. They went up for their renewal. Was it 2 years ago? 3 years ago? And you know, didn't bring a lawyer. They don't have a lawyer. They don't need a lawyer. Right, so they went up for their renewal, and the community board saw an opportunity, so they stripped them of their beer and wine license, just because they figured out that they didn't know any better, so they just told them they couldn't have it, and since they didn't, you know, the guys from Zaragoza didn't know what the deal is. They don't, I mean, English is their second language. They've been here for forever. They never needed to do this before.
Yeah.
So the SLA or the community board just took their license away from them.
That's fucked up,
for
man.
For no reason. You know, but the guys from Zaragoza didn't know the difference. They didn't know that wasn't cool. That wasn't legal.
So did they get it back?
Nope. Still just, still not even beer and wine.
I think I knew a guy who'd help them out.
Yeah, I know. It's just such bullshit.
Oh, man, that's fucked up, man. You're fucking with someone's, like, they weren't hurting anybody. Did they have
I guarantee Zaragoza had been there longer than most people on the board have lived there.
Yeah. That sucks. And then you're fucking with that their livelihood, man.
Yeah, it's just,
you're crushing the American dream, man.
I know. So not
just
cool,
just crushing,
man.
It.
So not cool.
God.
It's like school in the summertime. No class.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Well, shit, man. I hope that all works out with you. And
yeah, you know, your fingers crossed.
I'm sure it will.
You know?
I mean, you guys are pretty damn savvy to open flip over in a bar in 3 days. I'm sure this is going to be no problem for you.
Yeah, we're going to do the same thing. We're looking for, I mean, the space that we're working on now, we're not locked down because nothing's ever set in stone until you got the keys in your dirty little hand.
Yeah.
But we're working on a spot that's literally, it's the same size as Mother's. It kind of looks like Mother's. We are just going to go in and paint it and open just like Mother's. So if we don't get that space, we're going to probably do something very similar in the same vein, you know, like after doing, like, we did two like big consulting build outs the last 2 years, and it's like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
I'm tired of being a general contractor.
Yeah.
Dealing with plumbers and electricians and carpenters. And
I think it's good to, like, have the knowledge and experience with that, you know, like at some point in your life, you know, like,
it might come in handy.
It's nice to know, like, why this works and why this needs this permit and, you know, all that stuff. But yeah, it takes the fun and romance out of opening
totally
a bar,
right?
You know?
Yeah, you're like, wait a minute, am I a bar person or am I a carpenter?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You can be both.
Yeah, right? Just as long as it's 51% bar and 49% carpenter.
Yeah, exactly. it's great to have you on the show today.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
I'm really happy that you could make it in. And also, you're going to be... We're going to my bar now.
I can't wait.
Where are you going to make some drinks? When was the last time you were behind the bar?
Well, I technically still have Mondays at Mother's, but okay. I give it to Maria these days because she needs shifts. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm not working right now. So I haven't bartended in almost 3 months.
Well, you're going to do it today.
Yeah, I can't wait.
All right.
I'm going to go break some glasses.
Yeah. Just limit it to one an hour.
Okay, good. All right. Cool. I'll make sure I get it in the well, though. You know?
Yeah, right in the ice well. Totally. Yeah, we're going to be at Grand Army from 5 to 7 tonight making some drinks with TJ. And, yeah, come by and have some cocktails and hang out with us.
Great.
We'll probably whip up some snackeries. You never know.
You never know
what's going to happen.
You never know.
And then also come by Grand Army tomorrow night. It's our 1 year anniversary, actually.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're going to be, and it's also Cinco de Mayo. So it'll be a pinata full of probably like Fernet Branca mini bottles. I don't know. It's going to be something weird.
Something weird. Love it.
All right. That's it for the speaky this week. DJ, thanks again.
Thanks again, man.
And let's go to the bar.
Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.